We can turn back now to the portion of God's Word read, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 27. And we can read again at verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. In the previous verses of this chapter, the prophet continues to praise the Lord for the deliverance of his people from all their enemies. And this song of praise began back in chapter 25. This is still part of that same song of praise. And it's a song of praise to do with the ingathering of the people of God on account of the gospel being preached to them, so that they are brought into the kingdom of Christ. And that brings us on quite appropriately to consider the last verse in particular of this chapter, in which the gospel itself is being compared to a trumpet. Notice that in verse 13, that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish. And you'll notice also the constant use of the phrase "in that day" by the prophet. Notice in verse 1, the chapter begins, "in that day." Verse 2 begins, "in that day." Verse 12 begins, "in that day." And again in verse 13, "in that day." This phrase is used 4 times in this short chapter. And that day primarily is the day of the power of the gospel, when through the power of the gospel, he makes a willing people. And that willing people are made willing in a day of his power. Psalm 110. Now, when the Lord saves sinners, he does it with ease. With absolute ease. And I think that's brought out for us here in the Word of God, simply by the blowing of this trumpet. It is as easy for God to put forth his power and to bring his people and gather them to himself, as easy as to blow a trumpet. That's the implication that we have here in our text. Now, I want to consider with you 3 brief points here this Sabbath day. First of all, I want to consider with you the condition of those to whom the sound of the trumpet comes. The condition that these people who hear the sound of the trumpet are in. When the people of God were brought into captivity in Babylon, many of them were taken into captivity, but not all of them. Many of them also escaped and fled into other parts of the world. And these other parts of the world are spoken of here in verse 13. They are in the land of Assyria, and they are outcasts in the land of Egypt. That is where they went. And they went to these foreign lands in order to escape the judgment of God coming upon them. Now, in doing that, they responded contrary to the express command of God given to them in the prophecy of Jeremiah and chapter 28. They refused to obey the word of the Lord. And they escaped away in rebellion against God to these foreign lands. Now it is to them that the words of our text are fulfilled. The sound of this trumpet is going out to them in order to bring them back to their own land. They had become outcasts from God, for which God was angry with them. But now in verse 4 we read that fury is not in me. Fury is not in me. He is angry no more, in other words. In other words, he's longing and yearning for their return to their own land and to themselves. And it's all on account of their sins being purged. Notice that again in verse 9. Their sins are purged or taken away by the death of the Messiah who was to come, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And this is where the blowing of this trumpet now comes in. And notice in verse 13, our text, it's a great trumpet. Not just a trumpet, but a great trumpet. Because it has been prepared by the great God, who has prepared such a great salvation for sinners. And on that account, the neglect of hearing the sound of this great trumpet has great and terrible consequences. You remember how the Apostle Paul puts it, writing to the Hebrews, when he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And the sound of the gospel is that great trumpet. And it's that great trumpet because of the great love of God towards sinners of mankind. A great trumpet because it gathers in a great number of outcasts and brings them to saving faith in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it's a great trumpet because it proclaims salvation to the lost, to the undone, to the wayward, and to the rebellious. Now you'll notice here that the prophet speaks of the coming of the Messiah, the one who brings and who ushers the gospel into this world. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the one who arises with healing in his wings. He is the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, who comes into this world for those of whom we read of here in verse 13 are ready to perish. Notice that. They are ready to perish. Now that's the condition this great trumpet finds this people in, that they are ready to perish. And they're ready to perish in the context here in a foreign land. Here it's in Assyria, and here it's in Egypt. What is there in these foreign lands for you and for me? What benefit is there for our souls in these lands when we go to these places? There is very little for us there. There is nothing for the good of our soul. We are almost ready to perish like they were here. You remember another in the Gospels? The Gospel of Luke and chapter 15. The prodigal son went into a far country, and he spent all on riotous living. And when he cried out and he called out, he said, "I perish here with hunger." Just like those in Assyria and Egypt, he has departed from the living God, far away from God in a far country. And all the Lord's people, each and every one of them, they themselves were brought from that far country in the spiritual sense of the term. They were lost in their sins. The people of God here were in a foreign land. They were not at all familiar with their surroundings. And consequently, when the sound of the great trumpet came to them, they discovered their lostness. I don't know when you've been abroad, whether you've ever walked some distance, and after some period of time, you begin to realize that you're not quite sure the way back. Sure of the way back. I suppose we've all experienced that at one time or another. We don't realize at times that we are lost. But the discovery of our lostness makes us aware that something is not quite right. And when the sound of this great trumpet comes to them and all of the Lord's people, the sound of the great trumpet comes to them accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it calls them from the far country, as it did with the prodigal, and from the state of sin and misery. As David tells us, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, under the power and under the reign of sin. And the more or the longer they continued in sin, they continued to make the distance between themselves and God even ever so greater than it was, by adding sin to sin and pressuring up wrath against the day of wrath. They were all ready to perish in their lost condition. But thankfully, they were all made aware of their lost and perishing condition. And that is what sin does for us. And that's what their sins were doing for them. Their rebellion against God by going into a foreign land and disobeying God's command was making them more ready to perish. And when that's the case, people are in absolute oblivion. And if they continue in that case, that will lead to everlasting oblivion in outer darkness. And this is why they now come to speak of the gospel as a great trumpet. You see, when someone is saved from his or her sins, the gospel becomes very precious to them. To most people, I'm afraid, the gospel doesn't mean very much to them at all. But when someone comes to feel the power of the gospel in his and her soul, that gospel becomes a great trumpet to them. That is their description. That is their description of the gospel, because it has made known to them that they were such great sinners. You remember Paul? Remember what he found to be the case in his own experience. And this is what he says with regards to the gospel. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, speaking about the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's a great sinner too, and he was ready to perish too, with no one to blame for his condition but himself. And we too were like him. We were children of wrath, even as others, until the sound of this great trumpet came to us, living in their sins, with their hopes for evolution and atheism, hoping that they would have no accountability to the Supreme Being, and in the meantime, seeking the pleasures of the broken cisterns of this world, seeking pleasure in the company of the world, and in all the enjoyments of the world, living as far away from God as they could. That's their condition when the sound of this trumpet, this great trumpet, comes to them. It finds them in utter oblivion. And that was your condition and mine. But then, secondly, I want to consider with you not only the condition that the great trumpet finds us in, I want to focus more closely, secondly, on the sound of the trumpet. The sound of this great trumpet. Now, in the Old Testament, and in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, I think it's in verses 9 and 10. We read of the Jubilee trumpet. Now, a Jubilee, say for example, a Jubilee wedding anniversary is celebrated every 50 years. And the Jubilee trumpet was blown in the land of Israel every 50th year. The 50th year was a very special year in the land of Israel, because the Jubilee trumpet proclaimed liberty and freedom throughout the whole land for those who were in debt of any kind or description and who had to sell themselves as slaves to others because they were in such debt. But when they heard the sound of the Jubilee trumpet after 50 years, these slaves were set free because the Jubilee trumpet proclaimed liberty and freedom. They were set at liberty, in other words, from their slavery. And so it must have been a very joyful sound indeed for them to hear that Jubilee trumpet on the 50th year. And it was sounded very appropriately indeed on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, when the high priest went into the most holy place in the tabernacle with the blood of the animal sacrifice to make atonement for his own sins and for the sins of the people of Israel, to hear that trumpet sound was parallel to this trumpet sound. That if the Son therefore shall make ye free, then ye are free indeed. And do we know this trumpet sound ourselves? Have we heard this trumpet sound for ourselves? Well, that sound of this great trumpet being blown comes to this people when they are ready to perish, so that they may not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in order to come into possession of that everlasting life, they must come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When this great trumpet sounds, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole gospel is about what he has done, not about what we have done so much, but what he has done. We've done that which is wicked in his sight, but what he has done is to provide a remedy for our wickedness. And so it's all about him. It's all about him. On the Day of Atonement, again in Israel, the people would stand outside the tabernacle and they would be waiting there for the high priest to come back out after offering the animal sacrifice. And when he did come out, and when they saw him outside the tabernacle again, they got a great sense of relief and a great sense of joy, because they knew then that their sins were forgiven, that God had accepted the animal sacrifice of the high priest. And this is the joyful sound of the gospel through the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross and the blood that was shed for the remission of the sins of many. And I want to ask you a question. Are you here today? And am I here today despising this Christ? Who is on every page from Genesis to Revelation? Are you here today despising the only sacrifice that ever was and ever will be? Are you here today denying the alone Savior? Are you closing the door of your own heart to Him and to His voice in the Gospel when He says, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him to sup with him and he with me." Well, those who come to discover themselves that they are ready to perish, they are made willing in a day, in that day, as we have it here in verse 13, in a day of His power. And they open up to Him. They open their hearts to Him, just as Lydia did by the riverside in Philippi. Her heart opened. And so the sinner comes to Christ. Now notice here at the end of verse 12, they're coming one by one. Notice that. They're coming one by one. Now, this I think denotes the completeness of the Lord's finished work upon the cross. Think of a shepherd and his sheep. Well, any half-decent shepherd will know how many sheep he has. And any half-decent shepherd will count his sheep frequently to make sure that all are there and that they are safe and well. And the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, does the same in John's Gospel on chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they are known of me." He's got them all counted out so that not one of them, not one of his sheep, shall ever perish. They will all be gathered in by the sound of the great trumpet, each and every one of them coming from oblivion and coming to Jesus Christ. Coming from their ruined and from their lost condition to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Each and every one born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above. Each and every one as an individual, counted out by the Lord and saved with an everlasting salvation. And from wherever they hear this great trumpet sounding in their ears, they all come. And when the sound of this trumpet came to them, it's like music to their ears. A trumpet is a musical instrument. And the sound of the Gospel comes to the sinner who is saved like the sound of a musical instrument. It's music to their ears. It's a great trumpet now to them. Whatever they thought of it before in their unconverted days, and however much they tried to avoid hearing the sound of this trumpet, they are now all so completely delivered from so great a death by the sound of this great trumpet blowing in their ears. Now we're going to conclude today with Psalm 89. And in verse 15 of that psalm, we read of the gospel in this way. Oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. In brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. When you think of it like this, the day of their natural birth was a happy day for their parents. A joyful day for their parents. Each and every one of them came into this world crying under the curse of God. But the day of their spiritual birth is a happy and a joyful day for them. A joyful day for themselves when they were delivered from the judgment that is to come. And with respect to that, notice verse 1 again. In that day the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan. In that day there, is referring to a day of judgment that God is going to bring upon all his enemies. God forbid that any of us would be found among them. But thirdly and finally here, we can consider the end for which they are gathered. The end for which they are gathered is to worship God. When they are gathered, we read at the end of verse 13, they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. Now, if we can go back for a minute to the tabernacle. On the Day of Atonement, you remember above the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, there was the Shekinah glory. The visible presence of the Lord in the cloud. Above the Ark. Above the mercy seat on the Ark. And there was a voice heard there. There will I eat with thee. And there will I commune with thee. Now the word there is the emphatic word here. That word there is the place that Jesus Christ occupies as the one mediator between God and men in order to reconcile sinners with God. And that's the place of gathering. That's the place of gathering. That's where all his people are gathered. In and through Jesus Christ. And that's the place they come to there. In Christ. In order to worship God. Now at this particular time, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. But they still had the Holy Mount, and the altar was upon the Holy Mount Now that altar is important because the altar refers to the deity of Christ. Sometimes the theologians speak of the Lord Jesus Christ offering his humanity on the altar of his divinity in order to reconcile sinners to God. And so this is where they gather in him. And he presents them as they gather with him. And he says of them before the Father, "Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given me." It's not "behold, I and the child." It's not a singular thing at all. It's a collective thing. "The children thou hast given me." They're all gathered in. They were scattered throughout the world. They were in oblivion in parts of the world where they don't hear a word about Christ until they come to hear the sound of the great trumpet. And that changes everything for them. They are transformed from the inside out, and they come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and they gather with others in him. In him. And they worship together and give him the adoration for their salvation. Do you do that yourself? Do I do that myself? Have I got reason to do it? Surely I have, if the gospel has been blessed to my own soul. I've got good reason to give adoration to God for my salvation. Surely, surely. We have good reason to praise the Lord and worship him in the gatherings of the saints in Christ, in whom everything shall be gathered up together again. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, full many are the wonders thou hast done unto the sons of men, in saving them from their scattered state and condition throughout this world, and bringing them to thyself through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Saviour, whose name now is such music to our ears on account of what he has done for us. Oh, bless us all and keep us, forgiving us our sins. In his name, whose name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. We're going to sing Psalm 89 in conclusion. Three verses from verse 15.